And good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12. Martin will be here at 11, but we have for the first hour Andy Vance, like the Gold Glover and the All-Star, joining us. Andy, great to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm a little shy of information. Why is it the all-new Fan?
You're right.
90
it's,
The Fan.
We've been this way for a long time. We're still trying to hype it and sell it. It's an excellent
point. How long are you? I mean, it's like, you know, you can drive a new car for how long before it's not a new car?
The all-new. Yeah, that's good. All right, so much to discuss. First of all, you got into the hockey thing. I really did.
I actually was excited about the season, but I kept watching games. And to be honest with you, I don't know enough about hockey. I mean, I had a pretty good idea, when it's a bad turnover bad icing or. I mean, I have the fundamentals of the game, but as far as the inside of hockey, I mean, I'm nowhere near having the knowledge to make really, I think, great analysis of what it takes to win a hockey game. But having said that, I didn't see this thing coming. And if anybody said they saw it coming, well, they're lying.
Yeah.
And I don't know enough about the structure inside of a locker room at a hockey professional level to know how much a coach has an influence on a team. But having said that, I think of all the professional sports, I think the most important coaching probably is football, number one.
Yeah.
I think hockey, number two. I think basketball, number three. I think baseball, number four.
Well, what do you think a baseball manager means in terms of wins during the course of a season?
I don't think managers necessarily win games. I think it's a matter of how many games you don't lose by overmanaging or managing incorrectly.
Yeah.
I always felt like, I think one of the things that happened to Mike Matheny here is when he made a move, they thought it was because of his move that the Cardinals lost a lot of times. Well, that's not necessarily the case. Or they won, that's not necessarily the case. But a manager, at the baseball level, I think has a certain personality. And if that personality is a way of having players get on the same page, play the game correctly, have passion about what they're doing, then the team will fall in if they have the talent to do that. And I think getting out of the way of the talent on a major league team is very, very important.
How about hitting coach specifically? Because if you listen to talk shows and if you read social media over the last couple of years, John Mabry was blamed for everything in terms of the high murder rate, homelessness. Everything was Mabry's fault. And
sure.
Yet, a year later, with Paul Goldschmidt, with a healthy Dexter Fowler, with a more productive Marcell Ozuna, the slugging is the same. The strikeouts are the same. What about the role of the hitting coach?
That's a loaded question. And my personal opinion is I think the most important thing is if the player's not having success, and maybe he's had success in the past, that making the change or having players change at the major league level is a very, very difficult thing to do, Frank. And just to give you an example, I've been watching Matt Carpenter. And if it wasn't – and here's the interesting thing about Matt Carpenter is if he – and I've said this before on your show – if he hit – in the second half of last year, if he did that in the first half of last year, Mike Matheny might still be the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. I mean, think about it.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, that's how much of an impact Matt Carpenter had on the Cardinals' production in the second half of the season. Well, it isn't there this year. And basically, for a few months in the last 2 years, he's been an unproductive player. And I sit there and I look at him, he's got his back left foot on the white line in the inside of a batter's box, because he's so pull-oriented that he wants to be able to get to the ball on the outside corner and pull it. Well, at some point, you're going to have to make an adjustment, because if you watch last night, he took a changeup that hit the inside part of the plate, a lot of the inside part of the plate with two strikes, and he actually tried to get out of the way of a changeup because he was so concerned about covering the outside that he is so close to the plate. And I just think that at some point you've either got to move back, move up, and he hasn't done one thing except keep the same foothold for the last 2 years.
On the hitting coach,
And that's my point being is, can you talk to Matt Carpenter and convince him it might be beneficial to back off the plate? Because in my opinion, that was the first thing I've noticed. And that would be my, just to give an example, that would be my first suggestion as a hitting coach. The question is, am I a good hitting coach if I can convince him that's in his best interest?
All right, let me ask you this specifically. Like in 88, when you almost won the MVP, 25, 100 RBIs, 851 OPS, do you remember your hitting coach as opposed to a season where you hit, let's say, in 86, where you go 13 homers and 61 RBIs? Granted, you didn't play as many games. Was there a different hitting coach?
Well, number 86, number one, I was here in St. Louis.
So you weren't playing all the time?
I played the second half of that season every
137
day.
Games.
Well, I played just about every day. And believe me, he got hurt. And I hit 305 in the second half of that season, playing every day in center field. So that was one of the reasons why I had success, because I was getting consistent at-bats. And having 3 years of major league hitting to fall back on, it took me, and sometimes it takes players, a year or two to learn how to hit at the big league level. But I was starting to make adjustments. My success at the amateur level, my approach to hitting at the amateur level and at the minor league wasn't going to cut it at the big league level. And so I had to make an adjustment.
You made it.
Well, I was...
What kind of role did the hitting coach have when you almost won the MVP?
He had a huge role. He says, listen...
Who was it, by the way? Remember in Pittsburgh? Let's see.
Milt May.
Oh, Milt May. Okay, good.
Okay. And I respected Milt May. He was a hitter a lot like I was. And he said, you know, I used to hit a lot like you. And I should have been better, he told me. He says, you should be better too. I said, you're right. I think I should be better. He says, you need to start hitting the ball all over the field. Because, Frank, if you threw it 105, I was still going to pull you. You know, I could take Nolan Ryan's fastball and turn it and rip it down the right field line. But if he threw me a curveball or something else, I'd spin myself right in the ground. So to try to be a successful hitter at the big league level, you've got to be willing to say, you know what? I've had success in the past. That doesn't mean I'm going to have success going forward. And that, I think, is the number one hurdle to get over any major league hitter. And it takes pride to swallow. It takes a lot of convincing mentally to talk to the player in that way. But if you can convince them, here's the thing. I Mills says, I don't have, you know, I have had my career. If I was the hitting coach, I've had my career. I'm not doing this because I'm going to get some kind of personal satisfaction out of it. I want to see you be the best you can be. And right now, the way Matt Carpenter hits is not the best way he can be, because he has phenomenal, phenomenal eye-hand coordination. I mean, he hits pitches, fouls off pitches like Tony Gwynn used to do. And he's got an incredible ball strike approach to hitting. But the way he swings the bat, he's never going to be nothing above a 250 hitter.
How about Colton Wong? Are we to a point where he's at 239 with a 330 OBP, that he is who he is, and we shouldn't expect stardom? There may be little stretches where he may be really good, but in the end, he is who he is.
Again, a guy that needs to, he's a young player who needs to try to learn what it means to stay in the big leagues and be a productive player at a higher level. But when you see the same thing over and over and over again, and you don't have anything going forward as a major league player, you think, well, he is what he is, exactly what you said.
He's 28 now, too.
Oh, I understand that. But here's the difference. I think the only player I've seen who's made an adjustment for last year is the shortstop.
Well, what are you seeing with Paul DeJong?
He's trying to hit the ball to both gaps.
Yeah.
He really is. I mean, he's going to – here's the thing that one of the things that Milt May told me, and it took a little convincing, but it took a while for me to convince him. If you can be a gap-to-gap hitter, you're going to hit just as many home runs if you're just trying to be a pull hitter.
Really?
Absolutely. Because if you hurt a pitcher, if you're a left-handed hitter, and you hurt a pitcher in the left field gap, you got a guy in first and second, and you hit a rock at the left center and score two runs, what's the next time he's going to do? He's probably try to get you out inside. And then he's coming right into your kitchen where you want to hit it anyways.
How much does intellect have to do with it? I mean, I bring this up because DeYoung, they say, could have gone to med school. He's a real bright guy.
Here's my point. He looks like a smart hitter.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
I mean, when you watch his approach from this year to last year, he looks like a smarter hitter. Now, tell me who else in that lineup looks like a smart hitter from last year. Well, except Molina looks always smart.
Yeah. I mean,
he always looks smart when he hits.
Let me get to Bader now, who had a brutal at-bat last night with the bases loaded, nobody out. He's now batting .217 with a .332 on base. Is he ever going to hit right-handers? I guess there was a point where they questioned when you were young, could you hit left-handers? You eventually did. But what about with Bader?
Well,
He's still young.
I can't answer that question.
He's 25.
I understand that, but I really don't know if I can honestly answer that question because I'm not around him enough. I haven't seen him enough. Mechanically, I think there's some things that he's got to fix for that to happen. I think it's interesting you bring him up. I was thinking about what Whitey Herzog did to Vince Coleman. Now, if I was – here's again, we're going to talk about the hitting coach situation. If I was the hitting coach and Bader ever hit a fly ball in batting practice to the warning track, I kick him out of the cage. If you hit the ball of the fence, I kick him out of the cage. Unless he's hitting line drives to all parts of the field during batting practice, he's not hitting. That's what I would tell him because he should not be hitting the ball in the air. You're going to hit the ball in the air by mistake to begin with.
Yeah.
But to try to hit the ball in the air with all this launch angle bullcrap that's going on in baseball today, some of it's productive for certain players. It's not productive for every player.
Yeah.
But every time you watch a game, launch angle, 117, ball speed, 10. Who cares? You struck out three times before with nine guys on base.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see it.
It's the game has gotten crazy statistically. And the fundamentals of the game have been lost in the process.
All right, let's go to another Cardinal player. If you were in charge, would you play Jose Martinez, knowing his defensive issues, a lot more and get him three at-bats a night and platoon Fowler and Bader in center?
Yes.
Why?
Because the offense stinks. And he swings the bat. I mean, last night, that wasn't him taking two pitches in the strike zone with men on base, men in scoring position. He hadn't done that. But now he's starting to think, I have to get it done right here. Because if I don't, I might not play tomorrow.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that's starting to creep in his mind.
So you just put his name out there every day?
I let him play first base, right field, catch him. I don't care. Get his bat in the lineup, period. He is a dangerous person when he steps to the plate every single time. Right-handed, left-handed, underhand, overhand. He's a dangerous hitter. And how many hitters in this Cardinal lineup can you say they're dangerous right now?
No. Now, the one who has been dangerous his entire career and was dangerous in his final at-bat yesterday was Paul Goldschmidt, who hit his 14th in a walk-off home run.
30 RBIs.
Yeah.
Now, if you had told me that Colton Wong and Paul Goldschmidt were going to have the same amount of RBIs at this point in the season, I would have said, you know what? Colton Wong's having a heck of a year.
Yeah.
Or Paul Goldschmidt and the Cardinals are in a bad position. And unfortunately, it's the latter.
Yeah, what's the issue with him?
I don't really know.
You've watched him for years.
I have been watching him. I think one of the things I know he likes to take pitches when he first gets up. And I personally like to see him hit fourth. Forget about third, second, all that other stuff. To me, he's a fourth-place hitter. He is the Jack Clark of the St. Louis Cardinals, period. Hit him fourth every day, put Ozuna behind him, put DeYoung in front of him, and do what you want with the rest of the lineup. In my opinion, he's the fourth hitter. Not the second hitter. And all that, he's going to get, you know, maybe 60 more at-bats this year if we hit him second or 50 or whatever the number it is. He's the fourth-place hitter of this ball club.
Now, there's plenty of time.
Plenty of time for him to turn around. There's no question about that. And he's going to. But when he does, he should be doing it in the four spot. That's just my opinion.
What about the Dexter Fowler saga? He's got 8 home runs. He's hitting .244. What are you seeing there?
I see exactly what you see right now.
And I'm an average offensive player with a little bit of pop.
A little bit of pop. Frustrates you. You know, he's one of those players that you go, gosh darn it, you know, what are you doing? You know, like the, you know, like the other day when there's a base hit up the middle and Bryce Harper, I mean, a single up the middle and Bryce Harper runs around first and gets the second base on him. I've never seen that before, the base hit up the middle before.
Yeah.
So there's little things like that that maybe go unnoticed by the fans, maybe go unnoticed by the media. I guarantee it doesn't go unnoticed by the manager and the players. And it better not be unnoticed by the people in the front office, because that's the type of stuff that is cancerous to a winning ball club. There's no way at the major league level should a ball ever, a single up the middle, should a guy get to second base.
Yeah.
Ever. But those are the little things that Dexter Fowler does during the course of a game that just drive you crazy.
Let's take a short time out. I want to get Andy's take on the pitching staff, the front office, and the manager. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Hollywood Casino wants to remind everybody that if you are looking for a concert venue, well, this is the place to be. The Goo Goo Dolls will be there on Saturday. 99 Hops House before the game. Charlie Gito's Final Cut Steakhouse, the all-you-can-eat buffet. It is a great place to go. And when you're out at Hollywood Casino, look at that new ice center. It's going to be one of the best hockey facilities in the Midwest. Hollywood Casino, stepping up. Back with Andy Van Slyke right after this.